Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor, and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show.
It's going to be an OMG for people. One of the things that you had asked me before we started was, what's the primary source of these toxins for a family? And the primary source, I mean, there are many, but the primary one to begin with for a family is what everybody's exposed to, and that's your home. What's in your home? You know, the dishwashing soap you use in the dishwasher, don't ever turn it on unless everybody's gone to sleep. Turn it on at night. Why? Because it's not airtight. And the hot water with the chemicals in that dishwashing soap creates a gas that's a toxic gas. And you don't want to breathe that stuff. You don't want to be in the kitchen when your dishwasher's going. Now,
if you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to bonecoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now, head over to bonecoach.com, and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today for a second time to talk about addressing inflammation and getting on the path to optimal well-being is Dr. Tom O'Brien. When it comes to getting healthy, Dr. Tom O'Brien's goal for you is making it easy to do the right thing. As an internationally recognized, admired, and compassionate speaker focusing on food sensitivities, environmental toxins, and the development of autoimmune diseases, Dr. Tom's audience has discovered that it is through a clear understanding of how you get to where you are that you and your doctor can figure out what it will take to get you well. Dr. O'Brien is considered a Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease and teaches that recognizing and addressing the underlying mechanisms that activate an immune response is the map to the highway towards better health. He holds teaching faculty positions with the Institute for Functional Medicine and the National University of Health Sciences. He has trained and certified tens of thousands of practitioners around the world in advanced understanding of the impact of wheat sensitivity and the development of individual autoimmune diseases. And he's here today to talk about a very important topic, which is inflammation and how to get well. So, Dr. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Pleasure to be with you. As always, a pleasure.
I'm looking forward to this. And I know you have an important docuseries that's coming out. I want to make sure we talk about that. And actually, if you want to open with what is this new project that you're coming out with? Why is it so important? And why does everybody, really everybody, need to be aware of this?
You know, when I brought a consultant in for a day with my staff to figure out how do we, you know, what's our emphasis? Because there's so much information out there, you know, that we could talk about. And people are overwhelmed by it. My staff is overwhelmed. Doctors are overwhelmed, you know, and so they base their discussions usually on the symptoms that a person comes in with. But it was a full day exploration with this consultant to come up with this mnemonic, making it easy to do the right thing. You know, I mean, that goes right past, you know, people when in an introduction, there's a lot of information coming out, and that goes right past it. But how do you make it easy for families to do the right thing in terms of their health? It's really easy, man. It's so surprisingly easy. It's like basic 101 that very few doctors talk about because it's too basic. And we don't really think, we've never been taught how to think about it this way. So let's get to it. The Center for Disease Control tells us that 14 of the 15 top causes of death in the world today are chronic inflammatory diseases. It's always inflammation, except for unintentional injuries. Everything else is a chronic inflammatory disease. But inflammation is just an activated immune system. It's the byproduct of when your immune system gets turned on. Inflammation is not bad for you. It saves our life every day. We literally would not be here if we didn't have our immune system activating inflammation to kill threats. When it recognizes a threat, it gets activated to go after that threat. For example, you have the same body as your ancestor thousands of years ago, the same kidneys, same liver function, same immune function, same gut function. We use our brains more, so we've got housing and food and all that, but we have the same bodies. 10,000 years ago, our ancestors were nomads. They followed the herds for food. There was no agriculture. And so their top concern was to find food to eat for them and their family. They'd find something, they'd smell it, they'd nibble at it, and then they'd eat it. And if there was something, bad bugs that they couldn't smell or taste, but nasty bugs, we have sentries that stand guard inside our small intestine so that anything that comes out of the stomach, when it comes into that first part of the small intestine, your immune system is watching it. These sentries are called toll-like receptors. And I think of the soldiers at Buckingham Palace with those big hats. You know, they're as dormant as can be. They're standing around doing nothing. They just stand there. But don't mess with those guys. That's your immune system. They're dormant. These toll-like receptors are dormant in the gut. But if they see a bug coming out of the stomach into the intestines, and that's where things can get into the bloodstream, is in the intestines. If they see a bug, they activate immediately to do two things. Cause a leaky gut, because the leaky gut is when the cells open between inside the lining of the gut, the cells gap open a little bit, and then water comes into the gut to wash out the bug with the poop. So that's the first defense mechanism they have. And then these sentries, these British soldiers standing guard, they activate the main amplifier of inflammation called NF-kappa B to kill the thing, to burn it up, to kill it. So you get this waterfall coming out to wash it out, and you get this inflammation to kill it. And how does the toll-like receptor know that it's a bad bug? It's been trained to look for the amino acids coming out. And if that amino acid structure, think of amino acids like bricks in a brick wall. And some people put different colored bricks in places for design and all that. That's your proteins. They're made up of just a few amino acids, but they're in different combinations, different colored bricks, right? But it's always amino acids. And the reason, here's an example. The reason that gluten is such a problem is because your toll-like receptors misinterpret gluten as a harmful component of a bug. It's got the same amino acid structure as the surface of a bug. So these poorly digested parts of wheat, because no human can digest it completely, we digest it into clumps that are called peptides, but those amino acids of the peptides look like a bug. And so your immune system, trying to protect you, gets activated right away to kill this thing, gluten. And you get leaky gut, you get water in the intestines to wash it out, and you get inflammation. But your immune system is just trying to protect you. And I use the gluten example as one of the ways that wheat is one of those things that causes a problem for a lot of people. And this is why. It's misinterpreted as a harmful component of a bug. So we've got this immune system there to protect us all the time. Inflammation is not bad for you. Excessive inflammation is bad for you. And that's where the problem comes in for 14 of the 15 top causes of death, is the excessive inflammation. It's called low-level inflammation. And the problem with that term is that people minimize the importance of it. Well, it's low-level, nothing to worry about. No. This low level of inflammation that's there all the time under the surface is killing off tissue, killing off tissue, killing off tissue. And that goes on for a long time, as you know, and most healthcare practitioners know. Autoimmune diseases, by the time you get a diagnosis, it's been there for years, years under the surface, killing off tissue, killing off tissue, killing off tissue. And then eventually, you get so much tissue damage that now you get some symptoms, and then the symptoms get bad enough, you go to the doctor, and then you get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, as if you just got it. But the thing's been going on for years. We know with Alzheimer's, the inflammation in your brain is going on for 20 to 25 years before you ever have a symptom of cognitive decline. So it's this low level of inflammation under the surface that we're talking about. And I traveled to 7 countries and interviewed over 64 docs, 66, something like that, world-renowned researchers. I mean, the true people on the cutting edge to figure this thing out, because nobody talks about this. And you want to be healthy? Look, here's a statistic, and then I'll stop for the moment. The World Health Organization tells us that the average lifespan, you know, between 1990 and 2010, the average lifespan of someone in the U.S. went up by almost 3 years to 78 point something. It was 75 in 1990, and by 2010, it was 78. That's the average lifespan. But the average health span was 68. Now, what does that mean? It means that the last 10 years of your life have disability. You're not healthy anymore. You're alive, but you've got disability. That's the average in the U.S. is 10 years in nursing homes or wheelchairs or on medications, and you can't walk upstairs or whatever it should be. That's the average is 10 years. And between 2010 and 2022, the average lifespan has gone down. For the first time in history, it's gone down now to just 75.2. So it's gone down almost 3 years. But the average health span has stayed the same, 65, which means that you've got more disability. You've got these years and years of disability. Well, wait a minute. I don't want to be disabled in my senior years. I want to have some vibrancy in my senior years. If that's the case, you have to stop this ongoing inflammation under the surface that hasn't killed off so much tissue yet that you've got a diagnosis. So when you understand that concept, it's easy to stay healthy. The question is, what is my immune system trying to protect me from? Of course, you have to eat enough of the right kind of foods, you know, vitamins and minerals and that kind of thing. You know, you have to learn how to select foods. But it's okay, if my immune system is activated, what is it that it's trying to protect me from? Is it gasoline or kerosene? Is it mold or petrochemicals that you're breathing in that are getting stored in your body? Is it gluten or is it phthalates from the plastic that leaches into the water that we're drinking? So you have to identify what is your immune system trying to protect you from? And I'll pause there.
Wow. No, this is such an important topic. And one of the things that you mentioned is people don't want to get to their later years and still be alive, but not be able to do the things that they love.
Or right.
Sitting in a wheelchair, looking out the window, watching everybody else play while they're the ones inside, you know, thinking about their past or things they could have been doing differently. I always tell people the decisions you're making now, they're not just for 3 months from now. They're for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. And if we can make better decisions now, if we can get more answers now, that could add an extra 10, 20, 30 years of good quality life toward the end. So I'm totally on board with you there. That's now. Perfect. So you went and you interviewed all these experts. You yourself are an expert in this topic as well, in inflammation. but you went and you interviewed all these experts. As you were doing these interviews, what were some of the things that were consistent that you that came up during these interviews that you're like, okay, these are the underlying causes, these are the contributors, these are the things that people need to look out for?
Yeah, really good question. Consistently, it's the environment. Consistently. And I'll give you an example. In my opinion, and this is now my opinion, everything else I tell you is just science, you know, but this one's my opinion. The most sensitive tissue in the human body is a fertilized egg. It has no immune system. It can't protect itself from anything. It's completely dependent on mom's immune system, so that when it binds on the inside of the womb and it starts to grow, it doesn't have any protection. It's completely dependent on mom, right? So they did a study at Harvard, and they published it in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And the authors, the editors of the journal said, this is an elegant study using sophisticated biomarkers to prove their point. Now, the editors of the journal, the American Medical Association, don't say that very often. They don't give a stamp of approval. So we knew that, wow, this is okay. Let's take a look at this study. And it was on couples going to assisted fertility centers. And you're in the age bracket, Kevin, and I'm sure a lot of your followers are, who they've got friends, or perhaps they themselves have gone to assisted fertility centers. And these people are spending tens of thousands of dollars of their own money to try to get pregnant and have a healthy pregnancy. You know, it's a beautiful thing to have a family. And these people are trying hard. And they ruled out all of the known factors that determine success or failure. Cigarette smoking, no cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption, socioeconomic class, race, type of work they do. They ruled all of that out in an elegant way that you can't argue with, apparently. I'm not a statistics guy, so I'll trust the editors of the journal that they did it well. And they looked at one thing, just one thing. How many servings of fruits and vegetables is mom eating a day? Or is the woman, she's not pregnant, is the woman eating a day? Well, we all know the answer to that. The more fruits and vegetables, the better. No. They categorize these women into fourths. The lowest amount of servings of fruits and vegetables, the next, the third, and the highest. And the results were shocking. Those in the highest category of fruit and vegetable consumption compared to those in the lowest category of fruit and vegetable consumption, those in the highest category had an 18% less likelihood of successful implantation. Didn't work. 18% more often, it did not work. But if they did get pregnant, they had a 26% less likelihood of a live birth. They lost the baby 26% more often. What? The more fruits and vegetables you eat, the worse the outcome? Yes. Yes. And you can't argue with the study. You don't get any higher level of validation than the editors of the Journal of the American Medical Association saying this is an elegant study using sophisticated biomarkers to demonstrate their point. That was a mind blower until you saw there was one small category of women in the study who were eating organic. And in that category, the results were the exact opposite. The higher the consumption of fruits and vegetables, the more likely you were to have successful implantation, and the more likely you were to have a healthy pregnancy and healthy delivery. It's the pesticides, insecticides, rodenticides, fungicides, antibiotics, glyphosate that's in your carrots and lettuce and tomatoes and broccoli and apples and blueberries. If they're not organic, they're loaded with chemicals. And mom and dad accumulate these chemicals in our body. Now, there's no evidence that the amount of insecticide, pesticide, rodenticide, fungicide, and the amount of vegetables that you eat in a 24-hour period is toxic to humans. And that's true. There's no evidence of that. But these chemicals accumulate in your body. Give me 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Well, here's an example. Chicago, 2016, 346 pregnant women. In the eighth month of pregnancy, they did urine samples, and they looked at how many phthalates these women have in their urine. Phthalates are chemicals used to mold plastic. They're called endocrine disruptors. And we've heard of one very popular one. It's called BPA, bisphenol A. And they measured BPA and a few others. So, all right, how many phthalates do they have in their urine during pregnancy? And they put them into fours, the lowest, the next, the third, and the highest. And they followed the offspring of these pregnancies for 7 years. And when the children turned 7 years old, they reached back out and said, hi, it's time now. Let's do the Wechsler IQ test, the official IQ test. We'll do it for free for you on your children. And there's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this was every child whose mother was in the highest category of phthalates in urine in pregnancy, during the pregnancy, compared to the kids whose mothers were in the lowest quartile. Every child in the highest quartile, their IQ was 7 points lower, 6.7 to 7.4 points lower. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anyone until you understand a 1 point difference in IQ is noticeable. A 7 point difference is a difference between a child working really hard, getting straight A's in school, and a child working really hard, getting straight C's. This child doesn't have a chance in hell of ever excelling, ever. And then you go to Google, you type in phthalates and neurogenesis, brain cell growth. Here come the studies. The higher the level of phthalates, the more inhibition for baby's brain to develop in utero. So the more toxic mom is, the more risk baby is not going to develop their brain to whatever their genetic potential is. And okay, well, phthalates, well, I don't have a lot of phthalates, really. The phthalates in nail polish are in your bloodstream in 4 to 5 minutes when you apply them to your nails. Nail polish. The phthalates that make the nails hard, the polish hard, they're in your bloodstream in 4 to 5 minutes. Well, there's no evidence that the amount of phthalates that leach into your bloodstream from applying nail polish is toxic to humans. That's how they get away with this. But give me 25 years of that. Give me a five-year-old girl who paints her 10 little fingers and 10 little toes once a week for 25 years. Now she's 30 years old, and she's been accumulating these phthalates for 25 years. And if she's in the largest amount category of phthalates in urine during pregnancy, baby's brain will not develop to its potential. That's the kind of stuff that we're up against that people don't know. And it's that low-grade inflammation in mom while she feels fine during the pregnancy. You know, hopefully it's a healthy pregnancy. Everything goes good. You're really happy and grateful. But baby's brain did not develop to its potential. It's that kind of stuff that we need to learn about. Why? Because then you get organic nail polish and you're fine. And then you stop using the Tupperware containers in your kitchen because the plasticizers, the phthalates, leach into the food when you put your leftovers in the refrigerator overnight. The next day, the chicken's got phthalates in it. So you get glass storage containers and you never have to worry about it again. And you have to learn those little things that stop the gasoline on the fire under the surface while you feel fine. That keeps eating away at you, eating away at you, eating away at you. That's the goal here, is to educate people on how to ask better questions about what's in their environment and what's on the end of their fork.
I think this is so important. And, you know, some of our audience, most of our audience is women 50 to 70 plus. They may have experienced going through making some of these changes for their own life. They may be trying to help their daughters or their grandkids make better choices in their homes. And I know, as being a parent and even seeing it with grandparents too, there can be some challenges for people as they try to make these transitions. There could be social pressures that go against you making these transitions too, where you try to shift things to organic and people may say, is it really that big of a deal? Like, do we really have to make it every single food or try our best to do that? Or the nail polish example. Gosh, this was a great one, right? Like, do we really need to prevent kids from doing this? Well, yes, let's find a better alternative. You know, they can still be kids and not necessarily have the exposure to different toxic chemicals or different foods laden with pesticides. I mean, it's our job and our responsibility to help be the shepherds for them and help steer them to better choices, regardless of what social pressures are telling us to do or not do. So I'm so glad
exactly
you brought
right.
that up.
Exactly right. I forgot to tell you one thing on the vegetable during pregnancy study. And this is the good news. Those women put in the category of organic consumption were put in that category if they were eating 3 servings a week, not 21 servings a week of organic food. 3 servings a week completely reversed the outcome. Everyone can do 3 servings a week. Everyone can. And we think the reason for that, why just such a small change made such a big difference, is because, you know, if you're eating organic whenever you can, if you're trying your best and eating organic, you probably bought organic shampoo for your bathroom. You know, you've got organic dishwashing soap in the kitchen and organic laundry soap. You're trying. You're doing the little things that over time accumulate. Now, the authors of that study didn't ask them, what kind of laundry soap do you use, or any of that, those kinds of questions. But I think that's probably why it only took 3 servings a week to fall into the category of completely reversing the outcome. And that's good news. That means every little bit. Look, 2 weeks ago, I was in L.A. and I interviewed Fran Drescher, the nanny. And what a beautiful woman, just a wonderful human being. She makes you laugh continually while she's telling you serious stuff. And, you know, she's a 23-year survivor of uterine cancer. And she said, when I got cancer, my oncologist saved my life. The surgery saved my life. And I still see her twice a year, and she's a good friend. She said, but I decided to ask the question, why did this happen? And as opposed to using my fame to raise money for research, which is very important, it's very important, I decided to ask the question, why is this happening? And she wrote a New York Times bestseller called Cancer Schmancer when she found out the answer. And then she started her organization, Cancer Schmancer. And you go to cancerschmancer.com and you see there are all of these handouts and courses and events that occur as to where does cancer come from. It comes from your environment. It comes from the phthalates. You know, credit card slip receipts. You take a credit card slip receipt from when you sign the receipt and you take it, put it in your hand, fold it up, and put it in your pocket. Within less than a minute, your bloodstream is tens of times higher in phthalates, that they go right through your skin into your bloodstream. BPA, bisphenol A, goes right through. I never touch a credit card receipt. I'll sign it. You know, I put on the corner, I stabilize a piece of paper, I sign it, and then I take a picture of it with my phone. So I've got a record. I don't want those receipts. I'm not going to touch them. And you learn little things like that that accumulatively make a difference. And Fran, she looks in the camera and she says, you know, when I was a young woman, I used to be a smoker. And one day I realized I saw some pictures of smokers' lungs. And I thought, why am I treating my lungs so bad? What did they do to me to make me treat them so bad? And then she started laughing, that laugh of hers. She started doing that laugh. And she said, I vowed that day, I will never do that again to my lungs. And she stopped that day. And as a result of that kind of thinking, when she started to explore where does cancer come from, she committed herself. Her home was going to be the safest place in the world for her, very safest place. So you walk into Fran Drescher's home, which is beautiful, but you walk into her home, and I laughed, you know, when she came out, you know, her assistant welcomes you, brings you in and all that. And when she came out and we greeted each other, you know, I started laughing, Fran, you're the only other person in the world besides me that does this. And she said, uh-oh. And she looked at me and said, Your assistant gave us booties, little blue booties to put on our shoes before we could come into your house. And she started laughing. She said, yes. I said, why do you do that? You leave the toxic world outside. My neighbor may have sprayed their lawn for dandelion weeds yesterday, and you walk by on the sidewalk. The chemicals are on your shoes. You walk into my house on my carpet, the chemicals are on the carpet. My dog walks around, now the chemicals are in its paws. My dog gets cancer. You're not going to give my dog cancer. Like that. But, you know, the way Fran does that, I mean, it was just magical how she explains. And she said, you know, how do you get from where you're sitting to the kitchen? And she looked at me and I said, I know what you're going for. And she says, well, how do you do it? I said, one step at a time. She said, that's right. Exactly right. You learn one thing, and then you learn one more thing, and then you learn one more thing, and then you learn one more thing. And you realize that what you're doing is protecting yourself and your family. And you're losing weight if you have weight to lose. Your energy's going up. You're sleeping better. People walk into your home and they go, oh my God, what a beautiful home. And it's not because of the expense of what's on the walls. It's the energy. We give you the handout from NASA. NASA did the study on houseplants that shows that houseplants absorb 74% of the toxins in the air and generate oxygen to put back into the air. And it's just 2 6-inch houseplants in a 10 by 10 room, and it absorbs 74% of the toxins. What? What? And then they show you a picture of the houseplants. So we're going to give you the handouts that show, and you buy 2 little houseplants for every room in your house, especially your kids' bedrooms and where your kids play and where your family is most of the day, because the couch that you've got was sprayed with flame retardant chemicals and stain resistant chemicals. And those things outgas into the air. You're breathing them 24/7. Well, I can't smell anything. It's minute amounts. Well, there's no amount. There's no evidence that the amount of flame resistant chemical that leaches into the air is toxic to humans. That's how they get away with this. And the sheets that you put over you when you sleep at night, and the clothing you wear to sleep at night is soaked in flame retardant chemicals. Well, then you, well, there's no evidence that the amount of chemicals that leach out of your clothing is toxic to humans. But this stuff is accumulative. And then eventually one day you get diagnosed with cancer and you say, where did this come from? But for cancer schmancer and has focused on educating you on that kind of stuff. And that's what we're doing, is educating you on what you have to start looking at to put one foot in front of the other by listening to the world experts talk to you about all the science on this stuff. In every, I take the geek language. I say, Professor, excuse me. Did you just say, well, yes. Well, does that mean yes? Well, wouldn't that mean yes, it does. You hear that, everyone? This is all you have to do to protect yourself. Put a couple of houseplants in each room. And when you can afford it, you get organic cotton sheets and blankets. You know, it might be a while before you've got the resources to do that. But in the meantime, put some houseplants in the room. And so you learn all the little things like that.
I have a couple questions I want to make sure I ask you about the process of, so we understand there are lots of toxins out there and people are exposed to them every single day. The world is becoming more toxic. What are some of the things, not that we need to build out like a protocol, because if you're trying to find a protocol, you need to work with a trusted practitioner that knows your story, knows your situation, but maybe what are some of the nutrients, the compounds, the practices that people can be implementing other than just better swaps for better alternatives? What are some of these, the nutrients, compounds, practices people can implement to maybe help support the process of detoxification or lessen the impact of them, or maybe get them out of their system altogether? Again, not a protocol necessarily that anybody should walk away with, but maybe just some higher level things.
I understand your question. It's a very good question. And every host of a podcast or a radio, and they always want to-dos that people can walk away with, you know, and have something to implement now. And it's a really good question. The big picture is most important. Getting that big picture is critically important. because then you start thinking for yourself and you start asking questions of your healthcare practitioner to help you, to guide you. Most important, though, by far the most important, but you have to understand that every one of the answers that you're going to get have layers to it. You know, there's a surface layer, and then, but yeah, what about this, and what about that, and what about that? But the most important thing is that, and in the world of functional medicine, one of the founders of functional medicine, and we've used this quote so many times, functional medicine, do you know what it is? Get the bad stuff out and put the good stuff in. Bottom line, that's it, right? All right, so how do you get the bad stuff out? You've got to have enough water. You have to be hydrated. Just pinch the back of your hand. If the skin doesn't go flat immediately, you're dehydrated. So if it pinches and then slowly flattens back out, you're dehydrated. You're not drinking enough water. Well, how much water should I drink? A third of an ounce per pound body weight. That's, if you weigh 150 pounds, that's 50 ounces of water a day. That's 6 8-ounce glasses of water. Oh my God, I'll be peeing all day. Well, that's the idea, is that we've got to flush this stuff out that's inside of you. But most people in our country and in our world today, they've got four-lane highways of elimination that have been narrowed down to one lane or two lanes. They're bottlenecked. You know, you back your car into a snowbank, the exhaust pipe into a snowbank, and you sit there with the car running, the exhaust comes into the car. You know, so when you don't have enough water to move everything out, it starts to back up inside of you. Well, I have a bowel movement every day. Well, that's great, but you're supposed to have one after every meal. What? Yeah, it's called the gastrocolic reflex. You start chewing, and the message goes down the vagus nerve to tell the gut, all right, let's mosey things along here. Get along, little doggies. You know, move along. You're supposed to have a bowel movement after every meal. That's our physiology. That may not be how yours works right now, but that's our physiology. So if you just hydrate, that's the most important thing. Then there are layers to that, as I said, because two papers came out five or six weeks ago that we've heard about microplastics in water and what a big problem they are, and that plastics, microplastics in your food or in your water get into your bloodstream and they go right through the blood-brain barrier into your brain and they activate inflammation in the brain. Your immune system trying to protect you from this invader, plastic, that's getting into your brain. But they have new technology and they have laser-guided diagnostics for how much plastics in your water. They can measure nanoparticles. That's a billionth of a gram, a nanoparticle of plastic. And they published a paper. They looked at three major brands of water, 1 liter bottles of water. They bought them in the store, major brands, and in plastic bottles. And the average was over 240,000 nanoparticles of plastic in each bottle. So you buy water, a bottle of water, because you're doing the right thing to be healthy, and you're drinking the water, but it's full of plastics that get into your brain. And then your immune system, trying to protect you, creates this inflammation in your brain to go after this thing that's not supposed to be there, and here comes brain inflammation. Now, how bad is that? Blue Cross Blue Shield published a paper in February 28th, 2020, 4 years ago today, or yesterday. And they asked, they said, we've got a real problem here. But nobody paid attention to it because that's when the virus came out. So no one, not one newspaper article paid any attention to this. But Blue Cross Blue Shield said in the previous 4 year period, there was a 407% increase in the diagnosis of Alzheimer's in 30 to 44 year olds. 407% in 4 years. Why? Because of all these toxic chemicals we're exposed to every day. Yes, you start hydrating yourself, but you've got to get educated on where are all the exposures coming from for you and your family. because this inflammation inside your body, while you feel fine, this inflammation is killing off brain cells, killing off brain cells, killing off brain cells, or kidney cells, or heart cells, it doesn't matter, or joint cells, or thyroid cells. It doesn't matter what system of the body you talk about. This is the mechanism. So making it easy to do the right thing means get the big picture. The number one thing that's going to kill you is inflammation that's there for years under the surface. And you want a higher quality of life, you reduce the inflammation. So then you have to ask the questions, is it gasoline or kerosene? Where is the inflammation coming from? And that's what this event is all about, is to learn to ask those questions.
Understood. Understood. And let me ask one other question about sauna. So we talked about the different pathways, people drinking, obviously taking some of those toxins out of their bowels. That's really important. Also our skin. What about saunas?
Saunas are excellent. It's a very important part of the detoxification process. We have a whole day on detoxification. Any sauna is better than no sauna. So the idea of sweating is just excellent. Infrared saunas penetrate a little deeper into the tissue and you flush out a little bit more with each event of being in a sauna than with the standard Swedish dry saunas. But any sauna is excellent, excellent for you. You just have to make sure you keep drinking enough water to hydrate because you're losing more water, and that you take some minerals, some extra minerals. And Absolutely. We recommend when people are in the sauna that you take a loofah sponge or a Japanese washcloth, and you just dry brush. Well, you aren't dry anymore, but you know, you're sweating, but you just dry brush your skin always towards your heart. So if it's up here, you go down. If it's your legs, you go up. You dry brush, and you're brushing off dead skin cells, helping your skin to flush out more of those toxins that are in your body.
I love that. And I love that you said also you got to replace those minerals that are coming out when you start to sweat. So, so important, especially for, you know, if somebody has osteoporosis, they're focused on their bone health, or just people in general, you need to replace those minerals that are on their way out. So,
exactly.
Any other important things related to toxins, inflammation that you want to talk about before maybe we let people know where they can find this new amazing docuseries that you've got set?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very proud of it. I think it's going to be an OMG for people to realize how you and your children have been exposed and what's in your bodies, and that it's not very hard to get this stuff out. You know, you just have to put one foot in front of the other to do it. One of the things that you had asked me before we started was, what's the primary source of these toxins for a family? And the primary source, I mean, there are many, but the primary one to begin with for a family is what everybody's exposed to, and that's your home. What's in your home? You know, the dishwashing soap you use in the dishwasher, don't ever turn it on unless everybody's gone to sleep. Turn it on at night. Why? Because it's not airtight. And the hot water with the chemicals in that dishwashing soap creates a gas that's a toxic gas. And you don't want to breathe that stuff. So we're really grateful that Truly Free is one of our sponsors and actually the executive producer of the event, because I think every home needs to take those baby steps to replace all of the things in your home that you don't know what that name means. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you giving your child toothpaste and the tube of toothpaste says, caution, do not swallow. If swallowed, call National Poison Control Center. Look at the toothpaste. That's what you're giving your kids or you're using yourself. You get organic toothpaste. And then next time you get organic shampoo. And then next time you get the dishwashing soap. And then the wood polish that's non-toxic. And then the glass cleaner that's non-toxic. And eventually, putting one step in front of the other, you've got a home like Fran Drescher's, where you walk in and you go, wow, nice home. It feels really nice in here. It is nice in there. It's clean. And you, until you've experienced it, you don't know what it means to be in a clean home, clean environment, a non-toxic environment. But that's what we want for everyone, is to guide them in such a way of putting one foot in front of the other. It's going to take you a while. You're going to fall down. You make some mistakes. We all do. That's okay. Just pick yourself up and keep going, you know, and just learn the next step in this process. Get glass storage containers in the kitchen, you know, get stainless steel containers when you go to the coffee shop to say, fill it up, please. Like you've got, Kevin, that you're drinking from there. You know, you say, fill it up, please, because you don't want the plastic cup with the plastic lid, because that the plastics in there leach into the hot coffee. And you don't want that. And so you just learn every little step along the way. And in 6 months, your friends say to you, they haven't seen you in a while, say, wow, you look great. What happened to you? Well, you know, I learned that my plastic storage containers in the kitchen were toxic. My nail polish was toxic. My dishwashing soap is toxic. I mean, the shampoo is toxic. All this stuff that accumulates in the body, and that's what causes cancer, is the accumulation of all this stuff. And so we've been slowly getting it out of us. And your friend says, well, how did you learn this? Oh, you go to the inflammation equation, you know, .com/Kevin. And you just go there and it's free. And you can learn all of this for free at theinflammationequation.com/Kevin. And you register, and a gift from me to you when you register is the full interview with Fran Drescher, the full hour. You know, because a docuseries means there's 8 minutes of this author or this researcher, 12 minutes of this one, 6 minutes of this one, every day for a story. They're all talking about a theme like detoxification or food selections, whatever the theme is of the day. But we're giving you the whole uncut interview with Fran because she's just, you're laughing as you're thinking about all the toxic stuff in your home, right? And she just makes it so easy to feel non-threatened by this. So that's theinflammationequation.com/Kevin.
I love it. I'm going to make sure I link to that down in the show notes for those who didn't catch that. I'll also link to, you mentioned Truly Free. We recommend Truly Free products. They're really a great company. And it's one way to just start making easier, better alternative swaps. And again, over time, you're going to reduce that toxic exposure. You're going to reduce the toxic load. You're going to start to get healthier and feel healthier. And this is exactly what Dr. Tom does every single day. So Dr. Tom O'Brien, thank you so much for sharing this with our audience. Where else can people find you? We're going to link to the inflammation equation /Kevin in the show notes. Anywhere else you want people to find you?
Oh, thank you so much. Our website is thedr.com, thedoctor.com. But everything you need right now will be at theinflammationequation.com/Kevin.
Wonderful. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your expertise. Always great chatting with you and seeing you. And for everybody listening, you can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned here today over at bonecoach.com. We'll see you in the next episode. Hope you found this episode of the Bone Coach Show helpful. You can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned over at bonecoach.com. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, be sure to share it with someone you love, a friend, family member, even a group of people. And also be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode that can help you improve your bones, your health, and your future. One last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com. for more great resources to help you get on the path to stronger bones and an active future. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you in the next episode.